All right, y'all go ahead and turn in your Bibles, if we'll, to John 14. Just want to remind everybody, next Wednesday night is Thanksgiving dinner. Come prepared to eat physically next week. We'll always enjoy that, a good evening of fellowship and good food. So everybody remember that on the calendar, the agenda. This Sunday, FCA is going to be speaking and sharing. So that's looking forward to that. I think Jay Webb's going to actually bring the word. So he always does just a solid guy, and some of their kids are going to be sharing. And we do a lot with the FCA. A lot of people don't realize how much we sow into that, but we sow a lot into the FCA. We support three of the schools, Harrison County, Bremen, and Carrollton, on a monthly basis. How many biscuits do we do a month? Between 500 and 600 biscuits per month from Chick-fil-A is what we get for the kids and all of that stuff. So we step up with them pretty good, and they want to come and recognize us, and they're going to share. So y'all remember that coming Sunday morning. All right, let's dive into the Word. We have been, the Lord kind of really moved on me to do some teaching out of John 14 and 15. Especially for you guys, but this has been just rich for me. John 15 is some of my favorite scripture in the Bible, but he's been bringing me back into John 14 as well. And I'm like, oh man, that'd be awesome. We need to just do some expository teaching for the Blake House guys so that they can just really get a lot of this and lay hold of it and all that. And this has been just tremendous for me as I dive in. So we're going to be coming in John 14. We're going to start in verse 15 and just read a couple verses that we spent some time on last Wednesday night. Everybody remember where we were last Wednesday? It got pretty thick in here. It got thick for me last Wednesday. I don't know about you guys, but I got messed up pretty good last Wednesday night. And we're going to come and we're going to build on that. Last Wednesday night, we talked about Jesus coming and giving the disciples the promise of the Holy Spirit. And in this text, he tells them, he said that I'm going to be with the Father, but I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you another Savior. And so we talked about another Savior last week. And remember the setting in this in John 14, 15, and 16. Jesus is about to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Calvary's cross is right in front of him. He's about to be falsely tried, beaten. I mean, everything he went through. Y'all have seen the Passion of the Christ. Not necessarily the movie, but in the Word and all of that. And everything that he went through for us, this is imminently right in front of him. He comes in and he celebrates the Lord's Supper with the disciples in an upper room, the Passover meal, and he comes in and he does that, breaks bread with them, and he washes his disciples' feet. He dismisses Judas and says, that you're about to go do quickly, and just go ahead and do your thing. I know what you're about to do. And he leaves, and Jesus is here with the other 11 disciples. They're on their way at this point. They're on the way transitioning to the Garden of Gethsemane. And so he comes in, and he's laying all of these big truths on them. I always say, man, if you had one day, these people that they have been your disciples for 3.5 years, and you've got one more day with them, it ain't going to be no idle chit-chat. You wanna say to them, you don't want to leave anything left unsaid. You want to lay it out there and say, guys, this is the most important thing, and let me give you the most important stuff. And so he comes in and he teaches them about servitude and loving each other. He's going to be talking about abiding in the vine and being one in him and with him. But the transition to that is he's coming in and he's prophesying about the Holy Spirit and telling them that the Holy Spirit's coming. And he refers to the Holy Spirit as another Savior. And we talked about this last week. And this is not diminishing the incarnate person of Jesus Christ. But what he's doing is he is saying, I'm gonna leave you, but I'm coming back to you, and I'm gonna be in the form of the Holy Spirit. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. That's what Jesus said. And the Holy Spirit could say, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is Jesus Christ in the capacity of living and dwelling inside of us. Okay, so I'm not throwing any shade on Jesus when I come in and we talk about that He's going to send us another Savior. The Father will send another Savior. That's not throwing shade on Jesus. That is simply saying that the Holy Spirit's going to come in and He's going to keep going in this realm of living inside of every believer instead of just hanging out with a group of disciples and teaching them and doing miracles. Then that same Spirit that's in Christ, the resurrection power, is going to be living in each one of us. That's why He says that you can do the same things that I did. Even comes in and says, greater works than these shall you do. And it's because that same Spirit, that same resurrection power is living inside of us. And let me back up. It has the potential to live inside of us. Okay? I believe that there are two, and you say, man, how do you differentiate? How do you separate in this? You know, when I got saved or asked Jesus to come into my heart, I got everything that there was. And I'll disagree with that. Because I'm still getting more of God 30 years later in my walk with Him. I'm getting stuff now that makes what I was walking in 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, look like the kiddie pool. It's different manifestation. It looks totally different. People would say, and a lot of people, they make the mistake of saying, we went through seasons of our life and seasons in the church where we saw a lot of crazy manifestations. God was doing stuff, not just here, but man, everywhere. You go to these churches and you go to Brownsville and all of this stuff, you know. Damon Thompson is, a very influential person to a lot of people in this house. And, Damon said, man, the thing, he got called to preach when he was like 13 years old, very, very young. But he said the thing that kind of jump-started him on a national level in ministry, he said, I got invited. He was like 21. We got to know him he wasn't much older than that. Just only a couple years after he'd been in ministry, in that type ministry. But he said he was preaching at a conference. And he said, it was an auditorium, and it was full of, 1,000, 1,200, 1,500 people, something like that. And he said, I was up on the stage, and he was like, really passionate and just fired up and go get them and, better batten down the hatches because it's coming. And he said he was preaching in the middle of his sermon. He jumped off the stage, and he said, when my feet hit the floor, he said the first three rows of people in this auditorium, he said every one of them went out in the Holy Ghost. He said, I didn't touch any of them, didn't lay hands on any of them. I didn't do anything. He said it was the Holy Spirit. It was just God. It was Father God. And he was just making, God was making a huge splash in this. Of course, needless to say, his phone started ringing off the hook, and everybody's like, we got to get this guy to come to our church and all of that stuff. He had an amazing gifting, still has an amazing gifting, but he's much deeper, richer, and thicker and all now than he was then. But God used to do a lot, and I'm not saying he doesn't do crazy stuff. I say crazy. Y'all know what I mean by when I say crazy stuff. Supernatural stuff. He still does supernatural stuff, but I don't see the manifestation in that form right now like I did in some of those seasons. And I'm okay with that, because what we're walking in right now and what I see happening in other people's lives, and don't get me wrong, man, I love people. Somebody lay hands on me and men go out in the Holy Spirit and lay on the floor, and I've had that happen many, many times. It is wonderful. It is awesome. But what God's doing in me right now is way deeper than anything He ever did when I was laying on the floor. Can I get a witness? All right, my wife says, we may be the only two. We've been saying the longer we get in this, we think we're weird. The part of me thinks I'm the only normal person around, and then everybody else says, you're weird and all that stuff. But I want to tell you something, guys. We come in, and we think the fullness of the gospel, the fullness of the Godhead that we experience, everything that we're going to experience at the point of salvation. And that's not true. That is not true. Jesus saves you from the guilt of sin with the work He did on Calvary's cross. But when the Holy Spirit comes in and you embrace and you do life with the Holy Spirit, He saves you to something. And that is a process. I think that we have came in and sought the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a wrong way. And that may be a foreign concept with some of you guys, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and all of that stuff. But this, I bring to you another Savior. I give you another Savior. We came in, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit was almost like this is going to accessorize your spiritual life. You come in and you get this gift from God, and it is called a gift from God in the book of Acts. That was the King James translation. But we view the baptism of the Holy Spirit, receiving the Holy Spirit, like it's this gift of God, and it's going to accessorize our life. It's going to cause me to speak in tongues. It's going to give me a prayer language. And it's just going to, you know, it's, I don't want to use the word, it's a tool. And I don't want to use the word toy, but we almost treat it like that. And I want to tell you something. This receiving the Holy Spirit is a deep, lifelong process where I come in and I say yes to complete lordship of Jesus Christ, complete absolute intimacy with Him, where He intertwines in my life and my life gets lost in His life. That His DNA comes in me and I'm a part of Him, and the two shall become one flesh, that it talks about a married couple. And that is receiving the Holy Spirit and Him saving you to something. The reason that I believe, one reason I believe that there is of course I believe a lot of people are believing a lie, but one reason that I see a lot of falling away of people falling out of church and even falling away from their faith and all of that is I believe that they get bored with it. I believe they get the mindset of I've been there and I've done that. And I've heard 100 sermons or 1,000 sermons and I've seen these manifestations. And there's nothing else for me to experience. I know a guy that took up scuba diving in his midlife, I would say. And man, he jumped in and he went hardcore at it. I mean, he was like going on trips all the time. But he was going to Florida and the Caribbean. And he would go all the time, man, just go diving and diving and diving. And him and this other guy, they do several trips every year and all that. And after about 5 years of going hard at it, he logged over 100 dives, way over 100 dives. And after about 5 or 6 years of it, he just abruptly stopped. And you know what he said? He said, I just feel like I've seen everything that there is to see. And I'm like, dude, you may have seen everything that there is to see in the Bahamas. But you hadn't been to the Indian Ocean. You hadn't been to Truk Lagoon and over the World War II wrecks. You know, you hadn't been to the Great Barrier Reef, and you hadn't done all of these, you know, dove with the whale sharks and Utila and all of this stuff. There's a lot of amazing things that you have not seen, that you haven't done. But because in that realm he felt like he had seen everything, he said, you know what? I'm done. I checked the box. I got the T-shirt. I even got the tattoo, and I'm good. And there's nothing else that I can do in this that's going to carry me deeper in that. And people get like that in church. People get like that in their faith journey. And you know why? Because they stop as Jesus being their only Savior and don't allow the Holy Spirit to be the other Savior. I'm convinced of that. The deeper I go in this, the more I'm convinced of that. As they get stuck right there and it becomes boring to them. It becomes a labor of work. It becomes principles. And it stops being a love affair. As we read this scripture, how much we'll get into this tonight, I'm not sure. But as we read this, I want you to notice the word passionately. When it talks about the Father will passionately love us. And that Jesus will passionately love us. And if we will passionately love Him. And it talks about us going deeper in this thing and deeper in this thing. And He will carry us to places that our minds can't even comprehend, guys. And this is what I think that's why people get stuck. They get stuck in this. Because they come in and they level out on a place and they say, this is all there is to it. And a lot of people, that's all they want. They want to escape hell. They want to gain heaven, and they just want to live a solid life. And they have no desire to come in and say, man, I just want to be everything that I can be in Christ. I want the, you know, it's like if they were one of the created beings that fly around, one of the seraphim that fly around and say, holy, 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 they'd make about 3 laps and they'd quit. Because they said, I've seen every facet of God that I can see. And I promise you, they are still doing that. And they have still seen new things. Every time they make a lap, they're seeing something new. And they're going deeper in this thing. And we come in and we say, we plateau out. And we say, man, this is all there is to it. And that's good. That's good. That's kind of like coming in and, man, you've been to Zaxby's and you ate chicken fingers, and then you say, all right, I've ate chicken. And you think that's all there is. But I bet you could cook some chicken that's just flat out amazing that make you want to just throw Zaxby's out the window. Just because we've had Zaxby's or Jack's or you fill in the blank doesn't mean we've had chicken. You say, it does mean we've had chicken, brother. It means we really hadn't had chicken. You know what I mean in that? You hadn't had it until you had it right. There's a difference in food and good food. There's a big difference in food and good food. And we come in, and there's a big difference in plain church life. There's a big difference in just being saved and going to heaven and being a kingdom man or kingdom woman. And kingdom living. And that's what Jesus is talking about right here. Y'all look at this, man. Y'all dig this. Get into it. He said, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. Verse 15. And he says, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Savior, the Holy Spirit of truth. We talked about this last week. But he says the Holy Spirit's going to be to you a friend just like me. And he says he will never leave you. So if he's saying the Holy Spirit will never leave you, he's saying I'll never leave you. I think we can come in and safely say that. In other scriptures, he says I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But he said that the Holy Spirit will never leave you. He said the world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him. The world won't receive him because they can't see him or know him. But you know him intimately, because he remains with you and will live inside you. Now, I find it real interesting right here in the wording of Jesus, and I don't want to get bogged down on this because I really want to get into verses 18, 19, and 20 on this. But look at this. He said that I'm going to send him to you, but he said, but you know him intimately. How did they know the Holy Spirit intimately and they hadn't received him yet? That's a question. Anybody? Because they knew Jesus. And if you knew Jesus, he said, then you're going to know the Holy Spirit. You will recognize him. He will be like me. He's going to love you like I love you. He's going to carry you to do amazing things in you like I've been doing. But he's going to keep going in this. And so he comes in and he says, but you know him intimately, because he remains with you, who? Jesus, and will live inside you. And then he comes back in verse 18. He said, I promise that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Now, how is Jesus going to come back to them? Holy Spirit. That's how Jesus was coming back to them. Now, after the resurrection, he spent 40 days among them. They saw him several times in that 40 days. The word says that he showed himself to 500 people during that 40-day period. And he ascended to heaven 10 days before Pentecost. Told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Spirit, the promise of the Father. And he says, I'm going to heaven. I'm going to be with the Father and all this. But he spent 40 days among them. But he says, I'm going to come back to you, and you'll see me and you'll know me. How did he come back? As the Holy Spirit. So all of this that I'm talking about, another Savior, the Holy Spirit coming in, is not dismissing Jesus. It's not throwing shade on Jesus, whatever terminology you want to use. It is simply saying that Jesus is now, Jesus was God incarnate, right? Holy Spirit is Jesus in spirit form. Does that help you wrap your head around it? Helps me wrap my head around it. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Holy Spirit said, if you've seen me, you've seen Jesus. Holy Spirit could also say, if you've seen me, then you've seen the Father too. So it's all in one and it's all intertwined. So with that, all right, here we go on this. With that, you say, well, man, if I receive Jesus, then that means I got everything because I've already automatically received the Holy Spirit and all of that stuff. Not necessarily. It means what level of relationship are you receiving him to? What level of intimacy are you receiving him to? To me, Holy Spirit and asking for Holy Spirit and receiving Holy Spirit and opening up my life to Holy Spirit is totally coming in and getting up on the altar and saying, here it is. You've got my life. It's a burnt offering. It's totally consumed by you. You come in and you take this and you feel this, and I am dead to self and I'm alive to you. And most people don't want to go that far. Question is how far do we want to go in this thing? You see, here's the thing is, the Pharisees and the scribes and all of the people in the the Old Testament people, but the people in the Judaism and all of that stuff, they wanted to receive Yahweh, but they didn't want to receive Jesus. And so they stopped short. Now the ones in the Old Testament, they died in faith and they'll be in heaven. The ones that physically rejected Jesus. But what we'll do is we might not physically rejoice. I'm not rejecting Jesus. I'm not rejecting this and all that. But we stop short of walking in His fullness. Because what we'll do is we'll come in and say, man, I'm down with it, Jesus. You be my Savior. You be my friend. But this whole thing of me becoming one with you and you one with me and us abiding together and dwelling together and all of this stuff, I really don't want to go that far. And people say they do, but their lives say something different. Our actions say something different. We're about to see some of His stuff. He's saying that if you love me and if you passionately love me, then you will keep my commands. You will keep my sayings. You'll keep my teachings. And we want to keep John 3:16, but we don't want to keep all the other stuff. We don't want to keep the other stuff. Because that means that we have to totally immerse ourselves into this with Him. And allow Him to come in and totally take control in this. So let's look a little further right here. I promise you that I will never leave you helpless or abandon you as orphans. I will come back to you. Now look at verse 6 or 19. Soon I will leave this world and they will see me no longer. But you will see me because I will live again. All right, how are they going to see Him? They'll see Him 40 days in the resurrection, but how are they really going to see Him? As the Holy Spirit. Everybody getting that? Am I muddying the water too bad for y'all tonight? Y'all getting this? All right, this is where it gets good right here. He said, because I will live again. And then He says, and you will come alive too. Notice what He's saying comparatively right here. Compared to what you're going to be doing, you're dead right now. What He said. He said, you will, future tense, come alive too. So comparatively speaking, my notes right here. Comparatively speaking, they had been and were currently dead until the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because it would bring a transformative newness of life to them. Comparatively speaking. You say, what are you talking about comparatively speaking? Jesus comes in, He said, unless a man hates his father and his mother. Comparatively with His love for me. He tells us to honor our father and our mother. He's not telling me to hate my mama. But He is saying, in comparison to my love to Him and for Him, my earthly affection for my mother would be seem as hate. So y'all get that when I say comparatively speaking. So He's coming in, Michaela. Now what have these guys been doing? They've been healing the sick, casting out devils, preaching the gospel, doing all of these amazing, amazing works, you know, all of this crazy stuff. And He said, you guys are dead. Compared to what you're going to walk in, you're dead. That's why I can make the statement, a lot of the cool, awesome, crazy stuff that we have experienced through the years, comparatively to where we are right now, it looks like death and it looks like a kiddie pool to me. Back in, I thought it was the deepest waters I could even imagine. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is stuff. So much so, it ran a lot of people off and scared a lot of people to death. And God's like, man, y'all just got scared of the kiddie pool. And 10 years from now, the stuff that we're going to be walking in, and I hope y'all, some of y'all are with me. Life history tells me all of you won't. But I hope some of you are walking this with me, that 10 years from now, you know what I'm going to be saying? 2019, right now I'm talking about 2019's amazing. It's been just a banner year for us, breakthrough year. God's been rocking our world. God's been doing amazing stuff in our life and all of that. And you know what in 10 years from now, you know what I fully expect to be able to say? In 2019, I was dead. I was dead. Compared to 2029. In 2019 compared to 2009 was dead. Because comparatively speaking, there's about to be a newness of life come to you. And so he comes in and he tells them, I don't know if it's rocking anybody's world. This killed me when the Lord started showing me this. I'm like, this is just fabulous, God. This is amazing. And all. You will come alive too. Future tense, you're going to come alive. And if I'm the disciples, I'm sitting here looking around saying, man, I ain't alive right now. You remember when they came back from their first preaching tour? They were bouncing off the walls. They couldn't wait to tell Jesus. They said, Lord, even the demons were subject to us. We were healing the sick. We were releasing the power of the kingdom. He said, yeah, but you wait till you come alive. You think that was good, you wait till you come alive. You think this is good, you wait till you come alive. Y'all think what y'all got right now is good? Ha! You wait till you come alive. You wait till you come alive. You wait till you come alive. I'll tell all these young couples, they think they got it going on, and it's all, you know, young, and it's all awesome and fresh and all that. And I'm like, y'all ain't got nothing on me and Lori. I started to say mama, but I don't call her mama. She ain't my mama. I'm serious. Man, you've been married nearly as long as me. You look at your marriage right now compared to the first 20 years. You in a deeper, richer, you're in a place of, you know what the Lord spoke to me this week? He said, you know what some of the most powerful worship that you can ever, ever, ever release to me is? And I said, what, Lord? He said, trust. He said, trust is the deepest worship. Now, he might tell me something deeper next week or 2 weeks from now. But up to this point, he said, you know what the sweetest, most powerful worship that you can release to me is? It's not me dancing. It's not me singing to the top of my lungs. It's not me spinning around. It's trust. When I trust him, he said, no, that's worship. When you trust me, that's worship. When I first got saved, I didn't know how to trust him for anything other than the fact I believe his blood would wash away my sins. And I trusted him in that, but I didn't know how to trust him in anything else because I did not have any history with him. But once I got a history with him, then I started learning that I could trust him in everything. And I still don't know I can trust him with everything. I'm thinking I'm getting deeper and deeper and deeper. So he's telling me that right now at this point in my life, 57 years old, he's saying that the purest worship that I can give him is not a pure song. But it's trust. That's the purest worship, purest, most powerful worship I can give him right now is trust. Compared to where I was 10, 15, 20 years ago, that comparatively seems dead to what this is. When I begin to think about that the most powerful and the purest form of worship that I can give him right now is trust, then you know what it makes my dance look like? Almost childish. That's not a negative statement. But I'm almost embarrassed to bring that to him. When he says, you got something a lot deeper than you can. I'm still going to dance. I'm just going to raise my hands. I'm still going to do the Pentecostal hop and all of that stuff. But it's that, relatively speaking, comparatively speaking, is shallow compared to, that's dead compared to, I can come in and I say, I trust you. What's perhaps one of the greatest examples of worship that we see in the entire Bible? It's got to be Abraham and Isaac going up on Mount Moriah. Y'all know the story on that? You guys know the story on that? God said, I'll promise you an heir. And he said, look at the stars. That's the way that your descendants are going to be. Look at the sand of the sea. That's the way your descendants, that's going to be the number of them. And he only had one son. And it took him a long time to get that one son. He was 100 years old when he got that one son. And then when the young boy got Isaac, he got to be about 12, 13 years old, something like that. God told him, he says, I want you to carry him up and sacrifice him to me. And so he carried him up onto Mount Moriah. And he got all the wood and he strapped it on the donkeys and all that. And the lad said, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And he said, God's going to provide the sacrifice, knowing that God had already told him to sacrifice his son. And so he goes up there and he pulls his knife out and he's about to sacrifice him. And here's the mindset, I believe, behind Abraham in this, is that if he asked me to sacrifice my son, he has promised to me, then he is fully capable of resurrecting the thing that I sacrificed to him and bringing it back to life. And so he was fully prepared to do that. And the word says that when he was drawing the knife, that he saw a ram caught in a thicket. And he went and got it. I bet it wasn't a doll sheep. It was a desert bighorn, Lori. And he got it and he brought it out and he sacrificed that thing. And the Lord provided for that. And so that was probably the most beautiful picture of what? Worship. That was way better than a dance, wasn't it? Wasn't that way better than a dance? I like Miriam's tambourine and all the little stuff that she did on the other side of the Red Sea, but I'm pretty sure God got her with leprosy a little bit later on because she was coming against Moses. And so comparatively speaking on this, he said, you will come alive too. You're going to come alive after the Holy Spirit comes in you. And I want to take that phrase and I want to run that for a few minutes. Because after you get a history with God, you know what? You're going to come alive. You will be, it is a constant renewal. Damon's been going real hard lately on the difference in revival and renewal. He said, you shouldn't have to have revival. Revival's resurrecting something that's dead. Renewal's I make again new. I make again new. And so this is a constant state of renewal where he is coming in and he is doing a transformative work through the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so this thing should come in and it should get deeper and it's just an upward ascent in a spiral where it gets deeper and richer and more powerful and more intimate. I know more about her right now than I've ever known in my entire life. And I've been with her more than I've been without her. I'm a 57-year-old man. Been with her more than I've been without her. But I still don't fully know her. Because there'll be aspects of her, and there'll be parts of her, and there'll be dimensions of her, and there'll be facets of her. The depth and the beauty and all of these things that haven't even come to the surface yet. Because there's stuff in her that she don't even know about her yet. But if she goes on this beautiful love journey with God that I and you and me, and that's what he's talking about in John 15, in this thing, that's where the transformative work takes place. I'm a totally different cat than I was 7 years ago. And in 7 years, I fully expect to be totally different than I am right now. And I fully be able to say, man, I was dead in 2019 compared to 2029. Compared to 2039. Anybody receiving that tonight? Don't buy the t-shirt and get the tattoo and say, I've seen everything there is to see about God and Jesus and church. Because a lot of those people that I saw falling out on the floor, they ain't even following God anymore. Not even following God anymore. Chosen lifestyles that are so contradictory to God's Word. That was great. It was awesome. You say, well, they never got it to start with, brother. I believe I'll be in heaven with a lot of them. But you know what they're going to miss out on? I promise you I'll give you life, and not just life, but life more abundantly. And I'll carry you to places and eyes not seen and ears not heard. and you will come alive. You will, future tense, come alive. I'm in the process of coming alive, but I can't wait to the alive coming that I have in the future. I know that's not proper English, but I got the mic so I can say it. I'm convinced of that. I believe this scripture, man, I think that's the separation point in Christians. I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about in Christians. That'll be the separating point on many of you in here, on how deep you want to go in this thing. And a lot of people, they're afraid to commit. It's easier not to. That's like the thing of everybody living together now instead of getting married. They say it makes economic sense for us to live together and not get married. You don't have all the I don't want to say baggage, but you don't have all the deep ties. You know, if it don't work out, man, we can just split. We can just split. We'll try it for a while and see how it works. When people do that with God, I'm going to try it for a while. I'm saying God ain't into that cohabitation. God's into covenant. And we approach it the same way. And it's easy and it's convenient. And that's why everybody does it in society today. But covenant's where it happens at. Covenant's what Jesus is talking about right here with the Holy Spirit. He comes in and he says, how deep do you want to go in this thing? One guy's already got dismissed. Judas has already got dismissed. He comes in and he says, you will come alive too. So when that day comes, you will know that I am living in the Father and that you are one with me, for I will be living in you. So when you say yes to the Holy Spirit, you say yes to Him coming and living inside of you. When you say yes to God, I want everything that you've got for me, and I am immersing myself into this, and I'm behold thy handmaid. I'm not holding anything back. You'll know that I'm living in the Father. I think that's pretty powerful right there. We don't really know Jesus until we get in this intense love relationship with Him. We know Him as Savior, the one that died on the cross. But He says, that's not the totality of me. That's not the totality of me. Even the words that are written in this Bible, if you think that's the totality of Jesus and the totality of God, you're wrong. In one of the Gospels, it said if all the works and all the things that Jesus did were written, all the books in the world couldn't contain it. And that was just in 3.5 year ministry. There's places, that's why it says eyes not seen and ears not heard. Because there's places He wants to carry us that even go beyond and deeper than what we have recorded right here. People say, brother, that's blasphemy and all. No, it's not. I'm just saying God's bigger than that book. God's bigger than that book. That book is awesome. That book is God's love letter to us. That book is a history of God's history with us and His heart toward us. But that's not the totality of God. So when that day comes, you'll know that I'm living in the Father and that you are one with me, for I will be living in you. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Whoever passionately loves me, look at this, I love this verse. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. So if you passionately love Jesus, then Yahweh's going to passionately love you. And Jesus said, then I'll love you back. And I will passionately love you in return. And then He comes in, and He says, and I will manifest my life within you. Do Do y'all know y'all are the closest thing to God that the world's going to see? They can see God in creation. They can see God in the sunset. But we're created in His image. You're the closest thing to God that the world will see.
When you're talking about that we can always go deeper and deeper in God, the Heltzers, and you're talking about we're made in His image, I love that Jonathan and Melissa, they have a 18-inch journey, and part of it they teach is we are made in God's image. And think about how many people live on this earth and nobody is alike. Nobody.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He said, I believe the angels, when a baby's born, they were just waiting to see, I've never seen that part of God before. I've never seen that part of God before. The angels are seeing God in you that they've never seen before. You're the only one that can be that image of God. And there's so many of us. It's so good. We'll never, until we get to heaven, see God in all His... What a magnificent God that can create us. There's no two alike, but yet we're in His image. Think about that. Dwell on that tonight, and you'll see that. How can I get bored with this God when He has all this stuff I've not even come close to tapping into yet? Right?
Amen. That was good, wasn't it? I like it. So whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. I know that's true just in the natural. I love, you know, everybody that's in here. I love all you guys. I love everybody in the house. But y'all really, I do. You know how you love the world? The only way you can love the world, if the Father puts that in you. Because you don't have it as a kid. You're not born with it. Oh, I love people. I want to serve people. I want to minister to people. No. You go in the nursery and sit in that nursery for an hour. Mine. Ain't getting none. The only way you can love is the Father putting it in you. The only way you can be like Jesus is Him putting that nature in you through this union with the Holy Spirit. In John 15, He says, life union with me. Life union. But where I was going in that, before y'all interrupted or picked up on my sarcasm, I love Michaela. And you know why I love Michaela? Because Michaela loves my grandchildren. Michaela loves my grandchildren. And she demonstrates that love to them. And she pours into them. And she interacts with them. She spends a lot of time with them. So that causes me to love her with a deeper love. Truman and Jamie love me and Lori. And I think they love us on a level because we're the father and mother of this house. We're their pastors and they love us in that level. But they love us with a different love too. You know why? Because we love their little girl and we're good to their little girl. And we invite her in as part of our family and we take her places all over the world with us because she's part of our family. And because of that, they love us with a different kind of love. Y'all pick on that? Somebody good to your boy, Sharon, somebody good to your two boys and somebody that loves your boys, you love them because they're good to your boys and they love your boys. And Jesus said, if you love me, then my Father, if you passionately love me, then you know what? Yahweh's going to passionately love you. We want to pick and choose what part of the Trinity we love and don't love. I love Jesus, but man, Yahweh scares me because He's a big bad judge. And if you love one, it's immediately going to pull you into a love for the other. And He comes in with this and he said that whoever passionately loves me, I love it that He puts in passionately. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. And I will passionately love you in return. But then he comes in and he says, and will manifest my life within you. That is a promise. The Lord said, that's a promise. He, Jesus, will manifest His life in you. You know what manifest means? I'll show it. I'll make it come to the surface. I will make it happen. It will be on display, on exhibit. I'll manifest it. So when we come in and we say that I'm the closest thing to God that the people in this world are going to see, that is not boasting and that is not arrogant or anything like that. That is simply saying that if I'm in this deep love affair with Jesus Christ, and then the Father is in this deep love affair with me because I'm in this love affair with Jesus, and then Jesus reciprocates it, and He's in this deep love affair with me, then He gives me the promise and He said, I will manifest myself in you. So you can't be in this deep love affair with Jesus Christ and not have Him manifest in you. I should be able to look at your life and see fruit coming out of your life. And the fruit that I should see coming out of your life are all the attributes that Jesus had. I think you should be kind, caring, loving, generous. I can get on that one for a while. A lot of people aren't. I love Jesus. Prejudice, bitterness, all of that, that's not His characteristics. But He says, if you're in a deep love affair with me, you know what's going to manifest? I'm going to manifest in you. So if He's manifesting, you know what I'll see? Y'all know what it, y'all all watched the old, like, poltergeist movies and all of that stuff, and somebody, y'all seen somebody demon possessed? When the demon manifests itself, what happens? It gets freaky, don't it? A kid starts talking, you know, a little kid will start talking like an old man or something, or, you know, something like that. Their head will start spinning around. I mean, freaky stuff happens. So when Jesus starts manifesting in you, you know what it's going to do? It's going to look like something. Let's hang on that for a second. It's going to look like something. When I go down to Honduras and Jesus is manifesting in me, which is His promise, I will manifest my life. That's a present reality. His resurrection life is going to be manifested in me. So when I go to Honduras, you know what they should see? Jesus' resurrection life manifesting in me. They should see that. It should look like something. Sometimes it looks like a hug in the dump. Sometimes it looks like washing somebody's feet. Sometimes it looks like driving a nail. Sometimes it looks like giving somebody food. Sometimes it looks like loving on somebody's baby, and that'll touch a mama. You'll go in the hospital there in the maternity, and them babies will be like just, you know, I mean, they'll just pull them right off and say, hold my baby. It ain't because I'm tired of it. That baby's 3 hours old, and they want you to hold their baby. It's like, I want to honor you with you holding my baby. And when you hold that baby and you love on that baby, doesn't matter what type of a physical issue that baby's got, you know what it looks like to them? Jesus. Looks like Jesus. Looks like Jesus. And it's a promise right here. He said, I will manifest my life within you. Within you. And you know, when He manifests it within us, you know what it's going to do? It's going to come out. And it's not just in Honduras, guys. It's here. It's here. It's how we minister to people. It's how we interact with people. Verse 22, then one of the disciples named Judas, not Judas Iscariot, he wasn't there, but the other disciple named Judas, said, Lord, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? It's a good question, right? Why is it you're just, we're hearing this and we're getting that? But you're not revealing yourself. You're not revealing this to all these other people. Even the other disciples, even the other followers. And then 23, Jesus comes in and he almost gives them a different, He doesn't avoid the question, but he comes in with a deep answer to the question. He says, loving me empowers you to obey my word. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. Whew. Man, hang your hat on that. Loving me, it empowers you to obey my word. Then he says, and my Father will love you so deeply that we, notice plural right there, we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. Wow! Is that not loaded for bear right there? That when I passionately love Jesus, in this scripture a while ago, he said, when you passionately love me, my Father will passionately love you. And then he comes in, and Judas asked him, he said, Lord, why are you only revealing yourself to us and not to everybody? And Jesus immediately rolls right back into, loving me empowers you to obey my word, and my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. And I believe, you know what, Jesus is answering him and saying, you know why he revealed himself to them and not to everyone? Because they loved him in a way that the world did not love him. They knew him in a way the world didn't know him. Even the other disciples, they knew Jesus and they loved Jesus in a way that the others didn't. Question is, how deeply will we love him? I want to tell you something. Calvary's cross is only going to carry you so far in your love for Jesus. That sounds like a rough statement. But I know a lot of people that I believe have met Jesus at Calvary's cross. I believe they're saved. I believe their name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe they love Him for what He did on Calvary's cross, but they are not in a passionate love affair with Jesus today. They're loving the world. They're loving their life. They're loving their thing. They say, man, I got what I needed. I'm thankful for that. You could ask them and say, man, do you love Jesus? Oh, I love Jesus. Are you in love with Jesus? There's the difference. Are you in love with Him? And He's telling these disciples, He said, y'all are in love with me. And He said, that's why my Father is revealing this stuff to you. You know what passionate love does? It gives you access. Passionate love gives you access. She has access to me no other person in this room has. She has access to me no other person in this room has. Because of our level of relationship. I tell her things that I would never tell another person in here. Because of the level of the passionate love relationship that we are in. And then it spreads out from there. There are people, Randy has more access in my life than most people that come in here and sit every week. Because of our level of relationship. I can unafraid, I can open up. And say, this is who I am. This is where we're at. This is what we're thinking, and this is how we're approaching life. And the deeper the level of relationship that you have with somebody, the deeper level of revelation you'll have into who they are. We say, I love Jesus for what He did on the cross. But I'm not in love with Him. Guess what you're going to get? You'll get heaven. You'll get that Savior. But He says, I come to give you another Savior. And He's the Holy Spirit. And He's going to carry you into this path. Y'all notice He keeps talking about this passionate, deep love affair. And He keeps rolling back to, man, if you love me passionately, then I'm going to love, the Father's going to love you passionately. And when the Father loves you passionately, guess what He does? He starts opening heaven up to you. He starts revealing things to you. He gives you access. People say, I don't hear from God. You might not be in the level of relationship to hear from God. One thing I won't do, very rarely, very, very rarely, I'll text my wife, I'll text my daughters, and I'll text Cindy Hardy on business-related stuff, and that's about the only women I'll text. My wife will text them. I text James Siegel about every day, but I don't ever text Cammie Siegel, and I've got her contact in my phone. You know who texts her? My wife. You know why I don't? Because I am not in that level of relationship with her. And I love her, and we do life with her. But I, as a man, I'm not in that level of relationship with her as a woman. And we're like, God, don't text me. Get where I'm going with this? I don't hear from God. Then try getting in a deeper relationship with Him. Be still and listen. And here's the thing. If you be still and you're not hearing, maybe you're not close enough. I've got 40% hearing loss in one of the decibels. There's four different decibels in your hearing range. One of them, I've got 40% hearing loss because I've worked in a machine shop my whole life, in shotguns my whole life. So sometimes if Lori's talking light and all that, now I ain't talking about Zealand selective hearing loss. I don't want to hear what you got to say, so I'm like, I don't hear you. I'm talking about, I have to lean in and I say, what? I have to get closer. So I'll lean in. And I want to tell you something. If you want to hear from God and you want to experience God and you want to know God, you've got to position and lean in and say, I want to be in this deep relationship with Him. I want to be in this deep relationship with Him. I'm not going to teach this. I just want to read this, okay? So y'all off the hook. Y'all go home and study it. We'll pick it back up in a few weeks because we got Thanksgiving dinner next Wednesday. Then the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, we don't have church. So it's going to be 3 weeks before we're back in here teaching. So y'all hold on to this. Jesus replied, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not to everyone? Jesus said, because loving me empowers you to obey my word, and my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. But those who don't love me will not obey my words. The Father did not send me to speak my own revelation, but the words of my Father. He said, I'm telling you this while I'm still with you, but when the Father sends the Spirit of Holiness, He called Him the Spirit of Truth a while ago, now He's calling Him the Spirit of Holiness, the one like me who sets you free, another Savior, the one like me who sets you free, He will teach you all things in my name. But how's the Holy Spirit going to teach you all things in His name? Only to those that receive Him. Only those that receive Him. And I'm going to run out here and I'm going to mess with some of you. And that's not saying, well, I received Him. You know what that's like? I received Him when I asked the Lord to baptize me in the Holy Spirit one time, and He did. And I spoke in tongues, and I got my prayer language, and it was awesome, and it was amazing, and all of that stuff. Well, you know what? On August the 27th, 1983, I stood in the front of a little Methodist church in Temple, Georgia, and I put a wedding ring, or she put a wedding ring on my finger, and I said, I do, and I married myself to her, but I don't know that I'm married to her today because what happened in 1983. I know that I'm married to her today because I woke up next to her this morning. And I got in the car with her and rode to church with her this evening. And we're going to go home and we're going to lay down side by side and we're going to go to sleep next to each other tonight. That's how I know I'm married to her. And you know how I know I've received the Holy Spirit? Not because I prayed in Gerald Lee's loft 30 years ago, and said, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because this morning when I got up, I said, Lord, fill me with your Spirit and breathe on me. When I came in here tonight, I stood in that side room and I said, Holy Spirit, breathe on me and use me and speak through me tonight to minister to these people. And I feel Him right now. So you know what? I'm walking with another Savior. And His name's the Spirit of Truth. And His name's the Spirit of Holiness. And He's Comforter, and He's Guide, and He will lead me into all things. He'll lead me into a love affair with Jesus. And He will make me alive. He said, you will, present, future tense, you will come alive when you receive the Holy Spirit. So you guys know what I'm going to do tomorrow? I'm going to get up, and I'm going to say, Lord, before the sun even rises, I'm going to say, Lord, I thank You for this day. Thank You for the gift of life. Breathe on me. I receive You today. I receive Your fullness today. And you know what will happen? I'll come alive tomorrow. And it'll make today look like I was dead today, because it'll be a newness. It'll be such a transformative act. Such a transformative work. That's from glory to glory, man. That's what from glory to glory looks like. It ain't one day I'm going to go be in heaven. His mercies are new every morning. What does that mean? We always think, oh, that means He's forgiven me of my sins every morning. Dude, I don't wake up. I go to bed. I need that at night. Lord, I need Your mercy tonight because I screwed up today big time. But it says His mercies are new every morning. You know what that means? It means today you will come alive. You'll come alive. You'll come alive. Tomorrow you'll come alive. If you have that other Savior. If you want that other Savior. So I'm going to do something weird tonight. Y'all stand to your feet. How many of y'all want to receive the Holy Spirit tonight? I raise my hand because I do too. You say, brother, I did that 30 years ago. I did too. I received her as my wife 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago, last month, last week. But you know what I want to do tomorrow? I want to receive her as my wife tomorrow. We didn't get there, but in John 15, He said, as long as you are living in life union with Me and Me living in life union with you, then some stuff will happen. So tomorrow I'll get up and I'll say, I choose to be in life union with her. And right now, I choose to be in life union with the Holy Spirit. It looks like Jesus. Sounds like Jesus, feels like Jesus. He just lives inside of me. He lives inside of me. And every day I make space and I say, come, Holy Spirit, come. And feel. And move. And stir. See, it ain't something I just did 20 years ago. It's something we're renewed every day. So that's what I want to get across to us, man. That's how we go from glory to glory. We come in, you get up and you choose, and I'm going to love Terry tomorrow. And I'm going to choose to be in covenant with her tomorrow. And it's the same thing when we come in with the Lord and we press in and we say, God, I'm going to lean in. Breathe on me. Live in me. Life union. Life union. So today, man, if you asked that this morning, ask it again tonight. Say, God, I want more. I need more. I want deeper. I want deeper. I want deeper. Don't say you got a t-shirt. Don't say you got the tattoo. I've done seen everything there is to see. I promise you, you hadn't. I promise you, you hadn't. I promise you, I haven't. I'm so excited. I'm like a kid at Christmas. Every day. is who He is. So just press in. Just lean in. If you felt the need to raise your hand, man, come down there and just lean into Him. You're not leaning into me. You're not leaning into Victory Fellowship. You're leaning into Him. And a year from now, all you guys are going to be in a different place. A different place. Geographically, spiritually, and emotionally. You may not be under the sound of my voice. Probably odds are you will not be under the sound of my voice. But you know what? The Holy Spirit will be living inside of you. If you desire Him to. If you passionately love Jesus. Say, Lord, I just want You. I want more of You. He said, that's the same way I feel about You. Yahweh's like, me too. Me too. I just want more of You. Then Jesus chimes in. He says, me too. I passionately love You too. And then the Father sends Holy Spirit to live inside of you. He said, whoa, He was already there. He causes that resurrection life to, what was that word? Manifest again and again and again. He makes it again new. Isn't that the wording He uses in Jeremiah 18 in the potter's house? When He took the clay and it said He made it again new. That's what He does in your life. Is tomorrow He'll make it again new. And He'll breathe freshness on it. That's what your body's doing. Your body's making new cells right now. And there are cells that are dying and that there are cells that are coming alive and being made new. That's a beautiful picture of the Spirit man. Beautiful picture of the Spirit man. Beautiful picture. Go ahead, Cindy. Man, y'all just come down and spend some time with the Lord. Just tell Him whatever you need to tell Him. Ask Him whatever you need to ask Him. Give Him access. Father, we thank You for tonight. We thank You, Holy Spirit, for Your beautiful presence. Yahweh, we thank You for Your passionate love for us. We thank You, Yahweh, for Your passionate love. Your passionate love for us. And Jesus, we thank You for Your passionate love for us. And Holy Spirit, we thank You that You come and You live inside of us and You manifest Jesus. And that tells me You love me too. I'm just so thankful. And I just want more. I want more. I want more love for You, more love to You. And Lord, I know that'll reciprocate right back to me. So Lord, just stir and do what only You can do in everybody's life that's here tonight. It's in Jesus' name I ask this. Amen and amen.